This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I want to remind you that Wednesday, February the 4th, Father Matters will be hosting a job and training institute. For more information, visit us at fathermatters.org. Today's guest is Natividad Mendoza. Natividad is the co-founder of the ministry From Gangs to Jobs. Their purpose is to equip participants with the tools and training necessary to achieve a level of work readiness and general life skills needed to experience success. Welcome to the Father Matters Show, Natividad.
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. I've been trying to get you on this show, and now you're here. I said, let's lock the doors. Before we get deep, Natividad, share a little bit more about what is From Gangs to Jobs.
Well, From Gangs to Jobs, I would say, is a tool to help people who have struggled with life issues to be able to get back on base and begin to advance their lives. Basically, that's in a nutshell what we're trying to do.
Well, I think you're doing it, brother. We're hearing a lot about your ministry, a lot about what you're doing all around in the Phoenix area, Arizona. It's in itself, just you're doing big things, man. Why did you start From Gangs to Jobs?
You know, it was a hard issue. The first thing is, of course, is I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and through that encounter with God, I transformed my life completely, because I was a gang member and a drug addict and a prisoner for the better part of 18 years. And you know, once I gave my life to Christ, well, I had to figure out how I was going to live life, and I didn't really fit in on most circles, because it was just, you know, all I knew was prison and Christ now. So it's basically I fell into this because the Lord said that this is what I got to do.
Absolutely, man. And what I appreciate about your work and your ministry, Natividad, you're from the same background with the people that you're leading. And that's what I love, because these days a lot of people are not impressed by what degree or whatever they have on the wall. People want to know, how did you get from where you are, you know what I mean, to from where you came from to where you are? What helped you? What leads you out? And what better way than you said, hey, I can help people that's been addicted. I can help people that have been in gangs. I can help people that have been in prison, because you've been through all those things. And we got listeners all over the country. What would you say right now to that one person who want to walk away from gang life, or just want to walk away from just the nonsense and say, I want to get myself together? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say, you know what? If you truly are ready to do whatever it takes to transform your life and to be a resource to the community, then do it. You know, I would say, follow your heart. Know that if you are somebody who has gone through life issues, mm-hmm. that every bit of that stuff can be used for God's purpose. Every bit of your history, every bit of your past, as shameful as it may be, God can use it for good.
What made you walk away from gangs?
But the main reason was because I was ready to go back to prison for 14 years, and the judge just decided not to send me back to prison for 14 years. And that day I went back to my cell, and I just had a battle with God in my cell for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion that God was real, that God was aware of all the history that I went through, and that I mattered, and that there was hope. There was hope. There was an opportunity, not just to change myself, but to be making a difference in the world and help transform the world by giving them the same hope that God gave me.
Was it hard to leave that lifestyle behind? I mean, you know, what was good about that lifestyle, but also what was bad. The good thing is you're still here today. A lot of people can't just walk away from gangs.
So what I learned all those years in and out and is that gang life is a necessary thing almost for people who don't have nothing, who don't have positive influences and mentors. And it's kind of a safety net for these people. But
why would you say gangs is a safety net? Why would you say that? See, because a lot of people, what they know about gangs from what they see on TV or hear on the news, gangs, it's violent, it's, you know, it's drugs, it's fighting. Why would someone say that's a safety net?
Okay, I mean, there's different angles on this, depending on what environment you're coming from to start. A lot of it is culture. When somebody doesn't have, right? I mean, and they don't know, and they've been abused, and how do I call it? The throwaway of society.
Yes,
I mean,
speak on it, bro.
You know, when you are one of these throwaways. And nobody's giving you a job. Nobody's encouraging you in school. Nobody's trying to lift you up and help you be successful. Well, you know, all of a sudden you see these other people who will care about you and who will tell you that you matter and they'll you know, encourage you because of your nationality or whatever, you know, and just how to restructure your life through. Following these rules, and people, it sounds good. It sounds good, man. And these people actually do love you. They actually care for you, and they will. I've had people tell me, "I'll die for you." I mean, and I believe that they would have at the time. But I say now, you know what, man? Would you live for me? I mean, you know what? Would you do what it matters? What it means? Would you do what it takes to live so that I could be better?
When you were in prison, did they come visit you?
Nobody visited me.
See, and I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot of people, man, when they go to jail or go to prison, all these homies, all these friends that claim that they would die for you or got your back, how did that feel?
Well, see, here's the thing. They say that stuff at the moment they would do it, but everybody's got a short memory. Everybody's got a short memory, and everybody's still in survival mode. Everybody's got to deal with their issues right now. I did a lot of time, and my mom didn't visit my brothers, sisters. I mean, there was nobody. I didn't get no letters, nobody except my phone calls. You know, so I was a really good gang candidate because there wasn't a lot of other resources for me to reach out to or reasons to have hope. The gang life and the allure of it is something that seems positive until the years start to go away. And all of a sudden, you know, you start at 14 and you're 16 and you're 18 and you're 20 and you've been in and out 4, 5, 6 times, you know, and life is starting to pass you up, you know, and then you get back into the joint and you gotta prove yourself all over again, you know, and then you go to different prisons and nobody knows you in these prisons and you gotta prove yourself there. And it's like always living up to something that you'll never really accomplish because there's no reward at the other side. Mm-hmm. There's zero reward at the back of that.
I was looking on your website and there's a part where it says most adults that come through our doors do so as a last-ditch effort to make something more of their lives. Most are hopeless, desperate, addicted, abandoned, abused, alone, homeless, scared, and jobless.
Do you know most of the people? I mean, the ones, no, I wouldn't say most, but I say a lot of people, a good fraction of the people that come to my door are really, really at their last leg. Some of them are afraid to leave their houses. Some of them are ready to commit suicide. Some of them just have no clue how to survive. And what I tell them is, hey, you know what? If you're willing to do whatever it takes from here on moving forward, then your life can be better.
And what I love about it, man, you now become that father figure. You now become that big brother. And that's what most of the time they were looking for to join. To unpack that a little bit.
You know, just to go back a little further on mine, my father died before I was born. And, you know, the replacement that my mother got was abusive and that didn't end well either. So in my case, you know, I had a lot of ugliness, you know, that took me towards that gang life, which most people have. And so when they come, and you're right, it's that sense of hopelessness because they never had those positive mentors to believe in them, to talk to them, to lift them up. So I stand in the gap, and I can only do this for a season because what happens is you know, I have more and more people coming in, and I have to continue to stretch myself, you know, helping more and more people. But during the time that they are willing to continue to receive what I have to offer, these young men and women, I care about them. I mean, literally. I mean, I'll feed them. Mm-hmm. I'll let them take a shower in my house. A lot of times, I let them live in my home. You know, I'll drive them around. I'll teach them how to navigate through the welfare system. I'll teach them how to get their food stamps. I'll teach them how to where the homeless shelters are and stuff if they need that. You know, I'll give them clothes. We have a clothing closet that I'll give them. And I mean, there's just so many things. We stand in the gap and meet all the tangibles, including this is the number one thing I think we have. One of the number one things that we have is that we help reconcile them with their families. That is one of the key important things that I do. Anybody that walks through my door, I say, hey, check it out. Who loves you still? Who cares about you? They may be mad at you, but if you died, it would matter to them. Who is that person that would still go to your funeral? And those people, as soon as we can identify them, I will set up a meeting between that person, the person that I'm with, and myself, and we'll try to figure out a contract on how they can become a resource again.
Man, when we get back, I want to unpack that a little bit more. You're listening to the Father Matters Show with Vance Sims, and today's guest is Natividad Mendoza, co-founder of the Ministry From Gangs to Jobs. We'll hear more from Natividad after this.
From Gangs to Jobs, a local ministry that helps young men and women know Jesus, get off the streets, and find jobs. They've led hundreds of young adults to Jesus. And thanks to the Arizona Working Poor Tax Credit laws, you can donate up to $400 to the ministry and deduct dollar for dollar from your Arizona state taxes. Support the ministry now by calling 602-384-0340. That's 602-384-0340. Or visit FromGangs2Jobs.com. That's FromGangs2Jobs.com.
Hi, this is Vance Sims, host of the Father Matters Show. Would you consider partnering with us? Father Matters is a nonprofit ministry that's listener-supported and relies on donations and grants. All funds raised go directly to Father Matters mentoring programs for families, which means that your donation will help important projects that service children and families. For more information about partnering with us, log on to fathermatters.org. and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. Together, let's build stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And we're back with Natividad Mendoza, co-founder of the Ministry From Gangs to Jobs. If you're just tuning in, you can catch the top of the show at fathermatters.org. Also catch the Father Matters Show nationally every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com or catch our archive shows anytime worldwide at SoundCloud.com. Natividad, just before we went into commercial break, you were saying about you even get to the point where you reconnect some of the people that you serve with their family. Finish unpacking that. We went into the commercial, but that's deep.
I mean, all right. So the main reason why I think this is one of the most important things that we do is after going in and out of prison 16 times, I would run out of resources almost immediately, and I would turn back to what was familiar. And that's what all these young men and women are doing, is they're getting out of the joint or out of jail or Adobe Mountain or something like that. They're coming out, and they're coming out hopeless, or it could be just off of drugs. It could be off of drugs or, you know, abuse. And they just don't have anybody to turn to, and they don't know who to go to for resources. So knowing that I went back to prison for this, I know that it matters to have somebody that cares about you. And not just that, it also matters that you have a place to lay your head. You have to have these things, or else you're not going to be successful. It's going to make it so difficult. So my goal at the very start of when I meet somebody is I do an interview and I find out what their immediate issues are, their tangibles that they need right now before they could do my program. And the main one I look for is, are they stable in a place to be? Is there somebody who's going to allow them to be there and belong and encourage? And if there is, then great. If there isn't, then we have to work tirelessly mm-hmm. at establishing that relationship, because without that, then it's just hard, man. I mean, somebody needs to know. One of our key values is called progressive development, this means that without the possibility of failure, there's zero chance for success. So a person that's been an abuser or a drug addict or somebody who has done a lot of harm to their family, right, or just come home drunk all the time or high, they burnt these bridges. They burnt them bad. So if they give somebody a chance, a lot of times if they don't have somebody helping to mentor them to be a good mentor, then when they slip again, and they will, this is the thing, is they will slip again. Mm-hmm. When they slip again, they end up, the whole world ends up crashing down on them. They remember all the junk that they've done from the past, and the consequences look as that. I mean, basically, they're going to be very severe, strong, and degrading. So the person goes back to what's familiar and doesn't know how to get out. They kind of say screw it until they end up back in prison. So I try to teach that we have to forgive, as the Bible says, that God says he forgives and he throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, or as far as the east is to the west. We have to completely allow ourselves to let the past be gone, and when an issue happens again, we only hold them accountable for that issue at the moment, which gives the person the ability to repent and start to be successful.
What I love about your program, I know it's called From Gangs to Jobs, you also help with education. You have a GED program.
We have a GED program. We're trying to help, you know, people, again, with the tangibles. So one of the things that kept coming across my table was that, hey, you know, we can't read, we can't write, you know, we can't be successful because of these issues. So we created the GED program to help people be able to do their applications better, yeah. Do an interview better, and just have, you know, personal skills better with other people. And
that's all right. You're doing good, man. You're helping them with the GED, the program, the process of like you said, you're helping them with the applications and the basics.
Right. So that in the process of doing the GEDs, another thing came up where you remember the Dreamers?
Yes.
You know, a lot of these people, because of some of the new laws that Obama is signing, that some people that have been here a long time can actually begin to start the road towards citizenship.
Yeah.
But they have to be proving that they're continuing their education, that they're getting their high school diplomas or GEDs and continuing into college. So once we opened up the GED program, I started getting people coming to me saying, hey, you know what, can you help us get our GEDs, because these other programs, once that law came out, started charging a bunch of money.
Sure.
And we can't pay.
Sure.
So that's been a hit. People have been wanting to do that.
And leading up to that, because, you know, all this great stuff that you're doing, it's ministry, it's free, it's nonprofit, you know, it takes funding to do this.
Yes, it does, definitely.
You know, how can people step up and help from Gangs the Job? What can they do?
You know, if people would be willing to, you know, give a financial donation towards our organization, it would help us greatly. We have me only as the staff. I have a lot of great volunteers, but we need some administrative help, and we would love to be able to hire somebody to help with that. We need volunteers. If you guys would be willing to donate towards this cause, or come out and do some physical hands-on time with us, then you guys will be blessing us dramatically.
Well, where can listeners go? Yeah, where can listeners go? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, you guys can go to www.fromgangs2jobs.com, or you can call me directly at 602-384-0340.
You got a Facebook?
My Facebook is, just look for us at fromgangs2jobs.com. Or you could just look for me, Natividad Mendoza.
My man, Natividad, thank you for joining me today, man. I really appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you having me, brother. This is a great opportunity.
Hey, but real quick, I want you to talk to that one parent, that mom or dad or both, that has a son or daughter that's going through this gang stuff or want to get involved with it. What would you say to them?
You know, if you have a son or daughter who is beginning to entertain the idea of joining a gang, or they're starting to wear colors, or they're just acting different, what I would say is get more involved in their lives. But do it by caring, not by being intrusive. Do it by offering to do more stuff with them. You got to clean your table out a little bit. You got to clean out your time, and you got to be able to give your child, your young adult, give them some of your time, which is the greatest resource that you can do, and begin to talk to them, begin to listen to them. That's the thing. If you need my help, you are definitely welcome to call me, and I will speak to you or to them and give you guys the best advice that I could at the time, or they could join our program and I could help them that way.
Absolutely. Now, I know we're here in Phoenix, Arizona, but we got listeners all around the country. Are you available to go do speaking engagements in other states? And other?
I mean, I could. I don't have the money to travel, but
I'm quite sure they will take care of some flights and things like that to get you in, because, again, it is ministry and it's a service that you provide. So you would be willing to go to other states
and
maybe set up a Gangs to Job chapter or help them with the curriculum. Because we get a lot of people from agencies and ministries and organizations that listen to the Father Matters show, and they get in contact with some of the guests because they may not have that service in their state.
Right. And you know, but we already have two locations. We have one in South Phoenix and one in the town of Guadalupe. And I'm always willing to help somebody established this someplace else.
Well, Natividad, again, man, I appreciate you. What's your phone number one more time?
602-384-0340.
Thank you, brother. And thank you for listening to the Father Matters show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. See you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you, and God bless.